This Thursday, Philadelphia City Council will vote on a possible ban on police officers using tear gas and rubber bullets against residents who exercise their First Amendment right to protest. During more than 6 hours of hearings, council members heard from residents. They described how police use what they call less lethal munitions against protesters and bystanders during demonstrations for racial equality in late May and early June.
The officers in the tank were focused on firing tear gas and rubber bullets into a peaceful crowd.
I will never forget that day. It will have a negative impact, not just on me as a Black youth, but on everybody.
Since the protests, the department has made it a policy not to use tear gas and rubber bullets on peaceful protesters. That policy was put to the test Monday night.
That breaking news first tonight. A man who investigators say was armed with a knife is shot dead by Philadelphia police. And tonight, that deadly encounter is sparking a demand for answers as protesters line the streets. And some turn to vandalism, breaking glass and spray painting at this police precinct.
Officers refrained from using those munitions when violence erupted in response to the death of Walter Wallace, a Black man who was shot and killed by police in the city's Cobbs Creek neighborhood. In the hours after police fatally shot Wallace, unrest broke out on the same strip of 52nd Street aggressively policed in the summer with rubber bullets and tear gas. There were no reports of either used on Monday. If there's already a policy in place, why are residents and some city council members pushing for a bill that would make a ban against these kinds of tactics official? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Daryl C. Murphy of WHYY's Plan Philly and WHYY reporter Jimena Conde covered the hearings. Daryl, you reported on the first part of the hearings, which really focused on 52nd Street in West Philly, where police used these tactics in the middle of a residential neighborhood. Tell me about that hearing and what people said.
They described police officers and riot gear, basically, you know, firing tear gas canisters or rubber bullets throughout the neighborhood. And they talked about how that impacted the neighborhood during the day. One of the people was a pastor from an area church. His name was Damon Jones. And he said he was part of a group of clergy who were there to help maintain peace on the scene. And he said he was out there with his 17-year-old son.
There were crowds of people peacefully gathered, observing the sight of at least one large platoon of Philadelphia police officers lined up in full riot attire.
And he said the police presence seemed excessive from what he observed.
We noticed two Black armored tanks in the street as well.
Then he said he heard loud blasts and it took him a minute to realize what was happening.
The police were firing tear gas canisters indiscriminately into the crowd, causing us to run a few times. While I am a young man of just 54 years old, it's been quite a while since I've had to run from anything or anybody.
So some looting happened in some of the businesses on the 52nd Street corridor. Were police trying to protect property?
Not according to Reverend Jones, who said he saw something that bothered him where he saw some people who were looting a nearby sneaker store.
The sneaker store was being looted in plain sight, and just feet away from a platoon of officers with absolutely no response from the police officers on the scene.
Meanwhile, they were focused on innocent protesters. So one resident named Shakira King also testified. She's a lifelong West Philly resident.
I often call myself a Jewin in the best of ways.
She said she and her friends decided to stand outside of Hakeem's bookstore, which is the oldest bookstore in the city. The oldest Black bookstore in the city, excuse me, and they wanted to protect it to make sure no harm was done to it.
And suddenly, a SWAT officer gets out of the back of the SWAT vehicle. He aimed the tear gas canister directly at me.
Shakira testified that she ran to a friend's house to wash her face and hands and then told the elderly neighbors to close their windows so tear gas wouldn't get in their houses. In fact, some of the most troubling testimony came from a woman named Elizabeth Boge. She and her husband, they're physicians who live in West Philly. They came to the protest wearing scrubs just so the cops would know they were medical personnel, as well as the people who might have needed their help. She said once the police started unleashing tear gas canisters on the crowd, they ran down 52nd Street toward Walnut.
We saw tear gas canisters land well within what is a mostly Black residential part of the neighborhood. No protesters had been anywhere near those houses.
And Dr. Bo said while she and her husband were treating some of the folks who had been caught in a cloud of tear gas,
we noticed that a Black woman ran out of one of the houses in front of us carrying her crying daughter, who looked like she was about 6 years old. She told me that a canister had landed on the roof of their front porch. It had gotten in this child's eyes.
She said they washed out the little girl's eyes as best they could and tried to calm her down. But then she said people, including a bunch of elderly folks, started evacuating their homes, trying to get away from the tear gas.
I saw people who clearly had mobility issues, and the protesters who had just recovered from their own tear gas exposure were helping them down stoops, out of driveways.
Reverend Damon Jones said he's always been a supporter of the police, but what he saw that day is making him change his mind.
That is a clear divide in terms of us against them, and the police are clearly no longer there to protect and serve.
And he wants counsel to act on what he described as serious, aggressive police reform.
When we come back, the police commissioner's response.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I've been talking to WHYY Plan Philly reporter Daryl Murphy about the recent city council hearings about the police department's use of tear gas and rubber bullets during racial justice protests in June. WHYY reporter Jimena Conde covered the second part of the hearings, where council members questioned Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw. One of the things they asked about was whether First Amendment rights should have protected protesters.
That was something Councilwoman Helen Gim asked Commissioner Outlaw about, whether there's been police department training to distinguish what those First Amendment activities are.
I guess I would ask whether there's been training by the police department to strengthen its understanding and identifying of First Amendment activities and its distinctions.
There are some changes taking place. For example, Outlaw said the standard operating procedures regarding less lethal munitions, so tear gas, rubber bullets, are already being amended for the SWAT teams. Among the other changes the department is taking on, there's a plan to train officers to recognize implicit bias, but Outlaw kind of pushed back on the idea that all of the protests that took place at the end of May and early June were protected under the First Amendment.
Something becomes violent or an incident becomes violent, it's no longer First Amendment protected activity. I want to be clear there.
She also said what a lot of folks didn't realize is that her officers got injured during all the protests that went on across the city, too.
We had a total of 104 officers that were assaulted and injured.
She said some of them had acid thrown on them. She said they were punched, kicked.
And then we had hundreds of stores that were looted and destroyed throughout the city. That is not peaceful First Amendment activity.
How did the commissioner respond to West Philadelphia residents who testified that police officers used tear gas and rubber bullets on peaceful protesters?
She addressed it by reading out of Chapter 5 of Pennsylvania's crime codes that states, quote,
only the amount of force necessary to protect life or to effect an arrest should be used by an officer. Excessive force will not be tolerated.
And she said her expectation is that officers follow that directive.
How does Outlaw's testimony square with what she said about these events before? I'm thinking about the press conference she and Mayor Kenney had about a month after the protest when she actually apologized for the use of tear gas on the demonstrators on 676.
That's right. At that press conference, she said the information they used to justify the tear gas in that incident was faulty. The officer who made the call to use it was demoted and also publicly apologized. And many of the incidents from that weekend are still under investigation. But Outlaw did declare an immediate moratorium on the use of tear gas and pepper spray on any civilians, unless they are, quote, armed and dangerous, which is in line with what she said at this hearing with counsel. Once protesters aren't peaceful, she says that First Amendment right goes away.
Hamina, the other point of contention was the incident that happened in Fishtown. And we remember that in Fishtown, white vigilantes brandishing bats and other makeshift weapons showed up in front of the 26th Police District during a Black Lives Matter protest, and they kind of formed a mob. Did Commissioner Outlaw address that?
Yeah, she addressed it by saying,
merely carrying a bat is not a crime. There has to be an action or threats or something in along with that.
She focused on intent. But council member Jamie Gaudier wasn't buying it.
I saw videos from both of those incidents. The people wielding the bats were plenty aggressive. They were plenty threatening. Not only that, they were slapping high fives, right? There was a sense that these people were friends.
And to Gaudier, a history between police and that community informed that interaction in Fishtown, a history that happens to be friendly. And Gaudier wanted some recognition from Outlaw in the department that the tense police community relations in West Philly informed how police reacted to residents on 52nd Street the day that they unleashed tear gas and rubber bullets in the area.
How did the police commissioner respond to that?
She actually agreed with what Gaudier had to say.
I just want to say, you're right. I don't have anything else to say on that. You're right.
But council member Jamie Gaudier told Commissioner Outlaw that in order for police to successfully serve and protect a community, they have to understand their history with that community.
It is a terrible and harsh history. It is a history rooted in racism. And so beyond sort of hearing your policy stated, I would love to see the police department interact as if they understand the history of these neighborhoods.
At the root of these hearings was a bill that council is considering in response to how the city handled the protests in June. What exactly is that bill?
This bill would formally ban the use of less lethal munitions. So think rubber bullets and tear gas. It would ban the use of those on protesters who are exercising their First Amendment rights, right? And the police department has already made this a policy when dealing with protesters, but residents want an additional protection. They say that they don't trust the department to follow its own policy, and they essentially want to see it codified so, you know, they're guaranteed some sort of legal protection should police once again act violently against them.
What kind of chance does this bill have to pass?
I spoke to somebody from Helen Gim's staff, and, you know, the feeling around there is like, you know, they don't expect the vote to be unanimous, but ultimately they expect the bill to pass. However, this was before the events that took place on Monday, October 26th, where police shot and killed Walter Wallace in West Philadelphia, and then protests erupted afterwards. So it's possible that those events may change the tone of this vote, but ultimately, you know, it looks like there's a pretty good chance it could be passed.
Hamina, what has been Mayor Kinney's response?
A spokesperson for the mayor said that the office supports the intent of the bill. It is worth mentioning that during the Public Safety Committee hearing, Outlaw didn't come out either for or against the bill, but she did stress some of the changes the department is already working on and has been since the summer.
So, Daryl, how could this bill impact Philadelphia residents?
You know, if it passes, it could have a big impact because Philadelphia is a protest town. As we just saw, you know, in West Philadelphia last night, hours after the killing of Walter Wallace Jr. by police, you know, there were people taking to the streets, marching through the streets, and eventually engaging in a standoff with the police. It was pretty chaotic, you know. And so far, from what we know, there has not been any instances of tear gas or rubber bullets. But, you know, here we are again in a similar situation that 52nd Street was in just months before, right? And also, we can't forget that we do have a very unprecedented election coming up, and where there's a lot of questions around process, and there's a lot of passion about the candidates, you know? So you got to be prepared. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what to expect, but it's not unreasonable to think that, you know, something may happen that the people may not like, and the people are going to want to exercise their First Amendment rights on. So yes, this bill could have an impact in the city for sure.
Jimena, for years, there have been complaints of police misconduct in Philadelphia. I mean, I'm thinking back all the way to the Rizzo years in the 70s. So how could this piece of legislation speak to those kind of complaints?
The ultimate goal, it seems, would be a culture shift within the department. You know, there are hopes that police officers will better educate themselves, like Gatte said, about the history of how law enforcement has treated people in certain neighborhoods like West Philadelphia, as well as, you know, maybe encouraging police officers to think twice before they come into neighborhoods with tanks and military gear and escalating situations. But really, what it could do is give protesters just a little bit more protection. And not just protesters, but those non-protesting residents who may just be sitting in their homes watching TV from any violence that may occur in their neighborhood.
Jimena and Daryl, thank you so much for your reporting on this story.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That was WHYY reporter Jimena Conde and Daryl C. Murphy of WHYY's Plan Philly. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Dern, Kelsey Hansen, Buffy Gorilla, Sabrina Boyd-Circa, and Malcolm Burnley, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Ariella Cohen. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk Thursday.